Today is April 12th, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $70,831.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How's it going, Rick?
That's going okay. How about yourself?
You know, I want to say that I'm doing great, but I'm not doing bad, I suppose. We saw, you know, Bitcoin rip above 73,000, at least for a short period of time, right? Michael Saylor still buying Bitcoin. And oil has gone down in price a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, we're not really seeing it very much. The pump.
I got a, what did I get the other day? I got like just 10 gallons. It was $50, you know? It's always a good time. Good time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, man, topsy-turvy. We were talking about it kind of before we started recording. It's been like a seesaw. And that's really what I felt about price. We haven't seen... I don't know. I did think last time we recorded, we were pretty low, right? Like that's one of the lowest we've recorded in a while.
Yes. Well, it's kind of been just hanging out for the past couple of months around 60 something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We get like 65, get up to 70 something, and then it goes back down. And then I don't know.
Well, by the time we record, it goes down, right?
Yeah, so actually let's at least give us a glimmer of good news. What are we sitting at right now with our theoreticals?
Okay, theoretical purchases. First theoretical purchase back in October 2023. Towards the end of the month, if you would have put down $3,000, you could have bought 0.0885 Bitcoin, and that is now worth $6,269. So that $3,000 is done pretty all right.
Yeah.
Second theoretical purchase, usually... purchasing right at the halving is a huge game changer. This last cycle, not so much. So $1,000 on April 19th, 2024 would have got you 0.01564 Bitcoin. And that was basically $64,000. And with today's price at $70,831, your $1,000 investment is worth $1,108. So you gain, you know, 10%. But
yeah, it's... And that's almost a year, right?
On that, we're coming up on 2 years.
2 years.
On a week from today, it will be 2 years.
That was 2024.
Yep.
You'd have to go back and listen to our older episodes. And yeah, no, that's...
Oh, man.
Time flies when you're having a good time, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's just kind of one of those things. Usually the theoretical or the halving happens and then the price... accelerates afterwards, whereas we actually saw the price accelerate before the halving, which was the first time in Bitcoin's history, and that was more due to the ETFs.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I think looking at it that way is kind of interesting because you're right. Like, what would happen is we would have bought at that halving, and we would have just been beginning the acceleration. Like, we wouldn't have breached the barn doors from the previous bull cycle. We would have been getting right up to that top, and so that buy should have been a lot better off right now. And obviously that's not what we're seeing. So right now we're seeing that buy is approximately, and I'm just going to throw this out there and you can tell me whether you agree with me or not. That buy at this point right now is about what we would see or what we'd expect to see at the very, very bottom of the bear market for this cycle. I would expect to see something like that where we're that low and then we're about to come back up out of it. And I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're there yet.
I don't know. I made sense with that.
I think, well, I don't know. If you would have purchased, I mean, just looking at the previous cycle, if you would have purchased in, you know, December of 2020, mm-hmm. right before 2021, I remember Bitcoin, well, yeah, Bitcoin was starting to do its run about then, and it hit, I knew it crossed 20,000 then, and then you could have watched it rise all the way up to 60, fall back down to 35 and then make all the way up to 69. But if you held at that 20, you know, after the FTX collapse and all that kind of stuff, you know, when Bitcoin got to 15, 16, you were underwater for quite a while, or just treading water.
Yep.
Which is kind of what this is doing, right? I mean, we're treading water, barely.
Yeah.
But I do think you're right. We have not seen the bottom of this.
Yeah, I still don't think we're done. We still have a little ways to go. And it's amazing how fast this year is going already. I mean, I'm looking at this and we're in April. I forget that the halving was 2 years ago already. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, obviously, that's affecting Bitcoin's price. We talked last episode a little bit more about quantum attacks that could be happening in the future. That's obviously not right now, but that's something to be cognizant of. Next episode, I actually want to put together a little bit something more about that, kind of really try and, because I'm no expert on quantum, but I'd like to actually kind of dive a little bit deeper into that and understand perhaps a little bit more about what's hype and what's realistic with what's happening with the quantum stuff. So I may try and put something together for the next episode on that, just so we have a better understanding, all of us that listen, right?
Yeah.
But I am glad to see that October buy, and that was 2023, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that was still a really good purchase. And I don't think anybody would argue on that. The halving one, man, that is just so weird to see this time.
Well, it's almost like to get that bump, you had to get it in before the ETFs went live.
Yeah.
And actually that purchase happened right when the ETFs were, the rumors of their confirmation, I don't know if it had been confirmed yet, but they were so strong, like everyone pretty much knew it was happening. It was like, and I just kind of threw out, if you bought $3,000 in Bitcoin today, you'd be pretty happy in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And I completely agree. I mean, if you think about that, I want to say Polymarket at the time was probably, we were probably looking at like 80 to 90% that the ETFs were going to get approved. So I think that was like, it wasn't a done deal quite yet. It was one of the last things that Gary Gensler ended up doing. And it seemed like it was something he wanted to do. Like that guy was such an odd duck.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty weird time with him. We were excited when he got in, and then what we got out of it was like, what?
Yeah, it was awful. I was like, yeah, because I mean, if you go back and listen to our earlier episodes, we were like, oh, Gary Gensler, man, like this guy used to teach about Bitcoin at MIT, stuff like that. And it was like, and then when he got in, it's like, what the heck? But, and that, what the heck, that's me censoring myself because we try and stay relatively friendly here. In case you're listening with children. Although, I don't know, do parents listen to the BitByte podcast with kids in the car?
Does someone put them to sleep? Yeah.
Yeah, probably. So this week, obviously, we saw Bitcoin break above 73. It didn't really stay there. I mean, we've seen the whipsaw happen before. I am glad to see that we're kind of holding higher going into the weekend, because typically is when we would see the sell-off. Every time we've been recording typically on Sundays lately. And we've been seeing like that midweek high, and then it comes back down. You know, we back and forth. We've talked about that. And it seems like right now we're actually getting a better hold going into this weekend. I don't know what that's going to end up building for going into this next week, but there was some semi-positive movement. We were looking at the ETFs kind of before we got going as well. There's some black in there, but it's not major. There's also some red. And I think we were both just kind of estimating, looking at the numbers, that it's probably pretty even.
Yeah. Nothing to write home about, but nothing to be too worried about.
Yeah. Heavy resistance still rests between 78 to 80,000 in Bitcoin. And it seems like obviously our support level right now is right around 65. So we're still just bouncing in that range. Although some people are predicting that we're going to see a breakout, I do not hold to that. I think a big part of that, of what we're seeing, typically like with the VIX, we see with the VIX where if the VIX is going up, Bitcoin's going down. Right now it's been kind of with oil. So if oil is going down, Bitcoin's going up. And we did see actually a little bit of a dip in oil prices this week. Not much. I say not much, and that's just because we're used to looking at it from a crypto's perspective. A 17% move, it's not usually considered that crazy in Bitcoin, but it is considered crazy in traditional markets, right?
Especially with the whipsaw that we're seeing. They feel like they're in the crypto world now.
Yeah, some of the analysts out there are predicting that we're going to see 80,000 Bitcoin this month. I still don't know about that. We'll see.
I strongly disagree. And, you know, one thing we brought up before we started talking is usually Bitcoin's kind of taken tanking a little bit because, I mean, we're in mid-April tax season.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be, you know, some selling off to pay some taxes. And, you know, Bitcoin's kind of weathered some stuff, you know, it had that really bad January where it really crashed down from 90 to 60, but it's been holding above 60 for the past couple of months. And, you know, that's actually kind of surprising. If you would have asked me back in January, where's Bitcoin going from here? I'm like, probably 45 or something next, but it's not really done that.
No, you're absolutely right. Because, yeah, typically right around this time of year, especially because, I mean, those of you who haven't filed your taxes in the United States, like, that's coming up on the 15th. So if you haven't done that, you better get on the ball. But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, typically we'll see a sell-off in April. And then I would expect us to continue to fall down until, you know, maybe the end of this winter of this year.
Basically, sometime in Q3, it'll hit its low point and then
start to,
generally speaking, so that's when it kind of starts to turn around.
Yep. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see that there has been some news on the Clarity front, the Clarity Act, as it's kind of moving forward. It looks like on beginning of April, I want to say it was like, well, the April 8th, so not that long ago, Brian Armstrong from Coinbase has reversed his opposition to the passage of the Clarity Act, which was basically about yields on stable coins. And the big controversy about that was basically banks wanted to keep a lion's share of the yields rather than giving it back to consumers. Armstrong was saying, well, no, consumers should be able to, you know, if they, basically they were trying to get to where Coinbase would have the same, what would you say, market structure as banks, but they had the ability to actually give those yields back to consumers. I'm sure they would have kept a little bit of a greater portion for themselves, whereas banks traditionally give you what, maybe 0.5% or something like that.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what the banking interest rates on first savings counted as today. It's just ridiculously low.
Yeah, so it looks like he's kind of given up that fight. He's trying to be the, you know, remove that obstacle to get the package passed or get the Clarity Act passed. So it looks like Treasury, SEC, and the CFTC leadership all have publicly backed the bill. Senate banking is preparing a markup window for late April. Polymarket actually has just jumped the odds for passage to 70% that it'll pass this year. Policy-focused crypto accounts are blasting the Coinbase reversal, so everybody's getting mad because they are giving up that fight. And, you know, everybody's saying, you know, this is the most important crypto bill in U.S. history if they can get this across the goal line. So, I don't know. It's a good signal, especially for the future. But I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, and I always hate to say this, I mean, we've talked about central bank digital currencies in the past and how there isn't kind of an outright ban and how much of this, like with the stable coins and stuff like that, it's still, at the end of the day, it's a central bank digital currency.
Well, it definitely has the ability to become one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It can be, because it can still be integrated in. It just may not be directly issued by the Fed, at least yet, but that doesn't mean it won't stay that way.
Right.
And then, of course, Michael Saylor, back in the news. You know, that guy bought another 330 million in Bitcoin with Strategy, and that was 4,871 Bitcoin purchased at $67,718 each. And now it brings their total holdings to 766,970 Bitcoin. They're at 3.8% of all the Bitcoin in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say they're knocking on the door of a million Bitcoin, but they're, I mean, they're three quarters of the way there.
They've made good progress. Well, and if they keep buying like that, man, they're going to get there. Right now, you know, their investment is $5 billion underwater. But they just keep buying. So, I don't know, man. That guy, Giga Chad, that's all I can say.
Yeah. It's really one of the riskier. I mean, you don't really know how things are going to play out right today. You know, maybe in another 10 years from now, it's like Michael Saylor had the balls of, you know, the craziest person ever. But look at how well it paid off for, you know, we could be saying, dang, you know, he maybe got a little too aggressive with his Bitcoin purchases because then that's what sunk Strategy.
Yeah.
But
it could pay off the other way around, though.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. He's playing for keeps. I mean, he's going to get the biggest stake or he's going to be homeless. He's not going for the middle ground.
Well, and I do, there's certain parts of that. I mean, and I get it, right? Like, I am a believer of Bitcoin. But dang it, man. I guess he saw his stock, I think, what, it got down to like $3 or something like that. So he was like, they were basically like the GameStop, right? MicroStrategy, like, I don't think their business intelligence was that big of a business for them, obviously. And so then when he switched to this, where I mean, they're basically just a Bitcoin holding company now. It's like, dude, I mean, it could really pay off well for him in the long run. And I hope it does. And I'm pretty sure
That'll be good news for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, then he's got his personal holdings that he says, you know, he's taken to the grave. That's going to be his present. He has no kids. So that's kind of a interesting take on all that. I don't know. It's weird. One last thing I think that we can kind of touch on and cover on this is that I think all of this is still obviously a big part of it's being driven by the war in Iran. We had a ceasefire going into the weekend. And then I think Vance came on yesterday and just said, basically, well, talks are done, or at least currently. I don't know if they plan on continuing to talk, but they delegated or tried to discuss for 21 hours or something like that. It was something ridiculous. And they still have no agreement on how they're going to move forward. So what do you think will happen on Monday? Do you think oil is going to surge back up now that JDS has kind of thrown up his hands?
Yeah, I think some things will happen. You know, it kind of just depends on what happens next with Americans. Do we put more boots on? Do we try and put boots on the ground? Once that happens, man, it's going to get spicy. So I can only imagine what it feels like to be part of the rest of the world where Donald Trump is the Commander-in-Chief of the United States. But this being an American watching this is pretty surreal myself. So I don't know. It just feels like he's like a hand grenade waiting to go off.
Yeah.
At least that's how he carries himself.
Yeah. I hope. There's been discussion about, you know, well, he's so calculated, it's 4D chess, all this other stuff. And I'm like, I hope that's true. I don't feel like it's true, like in the beginning stages.
I'm not seeing that.
Yeah, like the first year of his presidency, I was like, yeah, this is what I wanted. The second year, I don't know. It feels I think everybody should want this. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, love Trump, hate Trump, you should want him to succeed. Mainly because, I mean, if he succeeds, America succeeds.
Well, as long as his ends are prosperous. I mean, he's basically kind of thrown the world economy into complete turmoil because, I mean, we get a lot of our oil from, we could produce a lot of it ourselves, and we do get some from the Middle East, but, you know, China, everywhere, you know, in Asia and Australia, they get a good chunk of their oil from the Strait of Hormuz.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. A lot of people are paying the price for this kind of crazy, almost shooting from the hip. And I think the problem is, for me, is he had like overwhelming, well, success in Venezuela. I mean, he went there, quickly grabbed Maduro and then brought him back. And then that was it. He's like, I think he was starting to think that he could just do a quick operation on Iran and they'd fall and then it's game over.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not how this one is playing out.
No, I completely agree. And I don't know. And maybe you're right. Maybe it was I don't want to say it was a false sense of confidence, because I don't want to sound like I do not appreciate the men and women that serve in our military. They are amazing. And I think we are probably the most experienced warfighters in the world. We've got to be we're always in skirmishes, it seems like.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he was hoping to gain. But it seems like right now, even with the talks, peace talks, and obviously I'm no expert in geopolitics or anything like that, but in the peace talks, like we were basically talking about trying to get it back to where it was before we started bombing them. So I don't know. I like I said, I hope it plays out. I mean, the problem is we have a world right now where China's on the rise. The United States, for all intents and purposes, seems to be on a decline as the world's lone superpower.
We're not going to be the lone superpower anymore.
Right. And I think that's the thing, is that we're moving into a polar world, with multiple superpowers kind of at play. It'll obviously be kind of China probably dominating the East. You know, it looks like Israel wants to dominate the Middle East. Who knows what's going to happen with Europe? United States wants to hold, I can't say just the northern hemisphere of our continent over on our side where we're at, but it feels like a Thucydides trap is kind of building, and as a power is declining, it's going to do everything it can to stay within power. So yeah, I want to be optimistic. I want him to succeed. I want it to be successful for Americans.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, he's got to do something soon and he's got to do it fast, because midterms are coming up. And if he's not able to get everything kind of secured and back to kind of where it was, I mean, gas prices alone are going to wreck his ability to, you know, retain power.
Well, that you just bring up an excellent point that we forgot to mention. CPI came out.
Oh.
3.3%.
So we went back up because we were down below, we were right at like 2%, right?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. So basically we've jumped back to 2023, 2024 levels of inflation. So things are not going good. And speaking of the midterms, if the midterms are held tomorrow, I think the Republicans would get trounced.
Yeah.
And then Trump would be in a world of hurt if the Senate and the House go Democrat, because I think they're going to impeach him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and obviously we've seen presidents get impeached before. We've seen him get impeached before. That doesn't mean he's going to necessarily be removed from office, but he'll be a lame duck.
Fourth time for him.
Yeah.
Fourth time.
Oh, man. Yeah. Man, you know, and I don't want to be like last episode, I felt like we left on such a downer note. And I don't want to be the downer podcast. Like I don't think that's our intention. It's just, man, it's hard with the way that things are in the world right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of hope.
All right. Oh, let's hear this.
But it's more of a silver lining.
Okay.
I just think they're going to, you know, historically things get bad in Bitcoin in this year. You know, well, we're going to find the low, and all I can say is start stacking your money, or maybe just do your, you know, regular purchases, you know, but you know, this year, if you can accumulate some Bitcoin, you're going to be doing well. You're going to set yourself up well in the future if the pattern keeps holding.
Yeah, I agree. So for those, and then just out of curiosity, like if you've got people, and I want your viewpoint on this, Rick. I mean, obviously, this is not financial advice. We're not certified investors or anything like that. But if if you were to talk to somebody that's completely new to Bitcoin and they're looking at like an accumulation goal, how much do you think they should try to get to? It used to be like get to one Bitcoin, but that's getting harder and harder for people. We'd even talked about that, like when it was in the $130,000 range or $120,000 range, $100,000 range, we'll just call it that. You know, even low millionaires, like that would have been a tough purchase because that's a lot of liquid cash to have to purchase. What do you think is a goal, a worthy goal for regular everyday people to try and get to right now?
That's a good question. I don't know how much I would say. I would just say accumulate what you can. If you have a goal of 0.5, I don't know, that's still, you know, $35,000 plus in today's prices. So, I mean, that would be, for most people, that's going to be very tough. But if you can get to that point, try and have 0.5 by the end of this year. That's what my goal would be.
Yeah. And just watch those, have some dry powder sitting on the sides and watch that. If you can, I mean, everything costs more, you know, getting gas costs a lot more. And therefore if fuel costs a lot more, then all your food costs a lot more. So it's like all that's connected. We were talking about the Strait of Hormuz and, you know, there's discussion about how fertilizer, that's one of the major exports that comes out of that area. Like there could be possible famines in some regions because they can't get fertilizer to grow crops.
Yep. And this is the time when you should be doing land prep in the Northern Hemisphere, at least.
Yeah.
Land prep and, you know, then you're going to be planting here soon. So yeah, no, it's a real big concern.
And, you know, the only other thing that really gives me pause and kind of fear about all that is, you know, one of the major drivers as to why Japan attacked the United States in World War II, and we may have talked about this in the last episode, is we started to, you know, kind of cut their throat on oil.
Yep.
And effectively, that's what we're doing to Asia and Australia with this whole thing with the Strait of Hormuz. Now, obviously, it's not directly us. We're not controlling the Strait, but our actions have led to Iran doing that. So yeah. Oh, one other thing I want to bring up, and I know, man, I'm so good at being optimistic today. Something to keep in mind too, those of you that do have Bitcoin, don't talk about how much you have, especially in public or with other folks. Wrench attacks have gone up significantly. I think it's an increase of over 25%. So that's people coming into their homes. What they're doing is they're actually, you know, they're aware of how much you have. Because they kind of publicly see the wallets, they do some math and figure out who you are, that kind of thing, especially if you talk about it publicly and disclose your amounts that you have with people. There's been attacks, and if they're going into your wallets, you know, under duress, and you give them access to your wallet and it's not the amount that they believe that you should have, then they're escalating. So just keep that in mind. Be safe. Be smart. Don't tell people. I mean, that's one of the things about personal responsibility with Bitcoin is that you need to kind of keep it under wraps of how much you have.
Absolutely.
Don't share that publicly.
Don't. Yep. And definitely don't talk about, I mean, if you talk about Bitcoin, just say, if they ask you how much you have, you say not enough.
Yep. Yeah. Not enough. More than some, less than others, but not enough. So yeah, just be safe out there. World's going crazy. And that's the thing. People are getting greedy. The difference in the K-shaped economy, the haves and the have-nots, it's getting larger and larger. And I still believe Bitcoin is going to be one of those ways that you'll be able to differentiate yourself in the future and become one of those that's on the upper side. So that's a little bit of positive news, right?
I guess. I don't know. Scratch hunts.
You can still feed your family while everybody else is starving in the future. Good job.
Yeah,
I apologize. Hopefully next episode, like I said, we'll get in some quantum computing. And I think listen to Rick on that, just dollar cost average. Make it happen. Try and make your goal and see if you can make it achievable on how much you want to accumulate.
Yeah. Well, even if you don't have a goal that's anywhere near as 0.5, say you're going for 0.1, just make that goal and start making it happen.
Yeah. And then once you get there, then just set another goal and just keep them stacking on top of that.
Yep.
So anything else you want to bring up today?
Yep. I think the next couple of years, the time's to buy, you know, that's where the biggest gains are going to happen.
Okay.
And after that, sit back for a little bit.
Agreed. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.
All right. Bye.